Sharp, brother. Caro. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California. April 11th, 1904. Dear brethren Sharp and Caro, I've had some opportunity of talking with Brother Burden since his return to America. I've met him both at St. Helena and at Healdsburg, but we did not have time to dwell upon all the matters of which I desired to speak to him. I had hoped that I might have had another interview with him. I told Brother Burden that I could not free my mind from some of the burdens that I've been carrying in reference to the work in Australia until I've written some things to Brother Sharp and Dr. Caro. It was a mistake to remove Brother Sharp from the responsibilities he was bearing so well in connection with the food work and to encourage him to confine himself to the work of bookkeeping. For his own good, he should be engaged in a more active life. A competent woman should be employed as bookkeeper at the sanitarium. In the night season of April 10th, I was bearing a decided testimony in regard to the sacredness of the work in which we are engaged. I had a message of warning for Brother Sharp, emphasizing the necessity of walking out by faith. Brother Sharp, will you study carefully the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews? Read the 6th verse. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Will you bear this in mind? Every physician and every other worker in any line of the work of God must cultivate that unselfish faith which works by love and purifies the soul. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Verse 7. Brother Sharp, God has a special interest in you, and he would have you in a position where no outward influence shall affect your judgment or your course of action. Do not walk according to worldly wisdom. You should expect to be instructed of God as verily as was Noah. You have a family to save. Do not place your children where they will be molded by worldly influences. Step out by faith, and let the world see that you believe the truth. Do all in your power to separate your children from every wrong influence. Your eldest son should be placed where he will obtain an education, line upon line, precept upon precept, an education that will not have to be laid aside before he can enter the heavenly city. He may now receive an education that he can take with him in the future life. Place your children where they may receive an education that will fit them to be members of the royal family. They should have the advantages of the Avondale School. The Lord has wonderfully wrought in the establishment of this institution. In giving an all-round education and Christian training, it is far above worldly conages. Our people in Australasia should seek most earnestly to place their children where they may obtain a knowledge that will enable them to answer aright the question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Those who have received the light of present truth should make constant improvement in knowledge, moving steadily onward and upward toward that city whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God,
for he hath prepared them a city. Verses 8 to 10, 13 to 16. My brother, I am instructed to say to you that you need to live by faith, even as did these faithful representatives of their time. Your faith needs to be stripped of some of its human elements, that it may lay hold of invisible things. You need a deeper religious experience. It would not be for your spiritual advancement to be closely connected with Dr. Caro. This has been tried, and the result was not beneficial either to yourself or to the doctor.
Many things have been done in the past of which God has not approved. Unless the thoughts, the words, the acts are carefully guarded, the enemy will come in to discourage and hinder the work of God. Oh, how much surmising, criticism, and jealousy spring up in the mind of one who allows himself to stand on the side of the enemy. Many circumstances will arise to mar the unity, even of kindred minds, when they are not cemented by true piety. Envy and jealousy and evil surmising in the heart has weakened the forces that need strengthening. Had Dr. Caro, from the first of his labors in connection with the sanitarium, acted as he might have acted, how I should have been rejoiced. But he has moved impulsively and many times has followed plans of the enemy's devising, plans that have endangered the cause and work of God. We have neither time nor means to expend in experimenting with plans that are born of minds not sanctified by the Spirit of God. Many today do not occupy the vantage ground they might occupy if their practice were in harmony with their profession. We must experience the power of divine grace before we can be pure and elevated. He who holds true communion with God has no relish for the low and commonplace, for transient delights and indulgence. Under the molding influence of the Holy Spirit, he reveals a preference for better things. He who has drunk of the pure fountain of living water will take no delight in the muddy, turbulent streams of earth. A temporal, artificial satisfaction is all that world lovers obtain. Those who sell their hope of heaven for so slight a reward will be deemed unworthy of the life that measures with the life of God. Jesus said, "He that will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Mark 8, verse 34. The Lord has blessed the sanitarium, and he will continue to bless it if those connected with it will seek to carry out the purpose of God in its establishment. Let there be full fellowship of spirit. Let everything that might cause alienation or strife be carefully avoided. Let the workers manifest that charity which furnishes a smile for everyone, a tear for every fault, and a gracious pardon for every mistake. There should be sound, sensible teaching on the matter of diet. The diet should be so varied as to suit the need of the different ones. This question should be carefully studied, that all may be brought into harmony with God's will. Everything possible should be done to make the sanitarium life attractive and satisfying. God desires the pure, ennobling truths of His Word to be lived and taught. Let there be seen such marked contrast between the goodness and mercy and love of God, as revealed in the lives of His followers, and the sinful manifestations of the natural heart in the lives of those who believe not, that souls will be convicted and converted, and the patients bear away with them a sense of peace and rest. The world has medical institutions of a different character and mold from this. These worldly institutions furnish an abundance of that which gratifies depraved appetite, satisfies the craving of the natural desires, and ministers to the indulgence of health-destroying appetite. There are many, like grown-up children, who seem to live merely to eat and drink and to gratify their own desires. They are continually seeking for some new thing to tempt the appetite. And many physicians will prescribe for them those things which they crave. Their minds become degraded by vice and amusement and the ceaseless round of gratification of the lowest indulgences. Thus they make a hell upon God's earth. We are not to make the gratification of every desire the joy of our existence. Let the heart find its satisfaction in seeking to know and understand the will of God. Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5, verse 14, 16. Bring the joy of heaven into your lives. The light of heaven, reflected in its beauteous charm from those who are preparing for translation, brings joy to the heavenly family.